Carlos, Carbonos represents a great opportunity, and it really is the apex of avoda, as we can see, in many respects. At the same time, it's shrouded in mystery, which is an interesting irony, or maybe it's an understandable irony. On the one hand, the role of Carbonos is so central. On the other hand, we really understand very little of what it's about. It's very mysterious, mystifying, troubling in some cases to us. The Nevi'im, of course, spoke in confusing terms about the Carbonos as well. Right, all sorts of different formulations. Lamali Rov Zivchechem. Various of the Nevi'im implied that, you know, Klal Yisrael was sometimes hiding behind Carbonos, you know, as a kind of a formal way of covering injustice and other flaws, and that better that there should be no Carbonos, but there should be avoda belayed, I guess, in a more simple and direct way. There should be a commitment to honesty and decency. But of course, if you read the words of the Nevi'im clearly, it's not a rejection of Carbonos. What emerges is exactly the opposite, meaning in the larger structure where the more basic and more fundamental obligations are discharged properly, so there, you know, Carbonos not only has a place, but represents the apex of avoda. That's similar to some of the themes that we spoke of about 4 or 5 weeks ago. Right, in a, you know, not everything stands in a simple hierarchy, more important, less important. Sometimes when you, there are foundational things, and then once you have that foundation, so then you have the opportunity to scale even greater heights and to reach or to express more important ideals. But without that foundation, everything else is ruined. That's the basic yisod of yada. So what we're being told is that, you know, if there's no commitment to mishpat and to tzedek, then karbonos are meaningless. But of course, with that commitment, then karbonos not only become meaningful, but they become maybe the highest expression. The very fact that the Nevi'im link the significance or effectiveness of bringing karbonos with mishpat b'tzedek also highlights another pervasive theme, and that is again the interrelatedness of all of Torah. Which is a theme which we always see and which we'll continue to always see. The first Mishnah in Brachos, I think it's very interesting, the Daf Yomi people are now starting Brachos again. So the first Mishnah in Brachos, Me'imasai Koran Es Shema Be'arvin, Mishosh HaKonim Nichnasim Lecho B'Trumason, and of course the Gemara itself discusses, you know, why they don't simply say, you know, what they mean by that, whether it's a Kochavim or something else. Why use the reference of the Mishnah goes on also to explain that you have the debate about when Kriya Shema ends, right? Is it Shmur Rishona, or is it Chatzos, or is it Kala Laila? And then we're told that, you know, many things that are formalized till Chatzos, that's only Drabanan, and really you have all night, and the examples that are given are Hekter Chalavin, they vary and so on. It's almost as if that first Mishnah in Brachos intentionally wanted to integrate with the theme of Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim other aspects of Jewish life that are quite distant from it, but to show the interrelatedness, Mishash HaKon V'Nasim Lachon V'Trumasam, which is again all about Harev Shemesh being Tahar. And of course, again, some of the examples that are brought, and some of the Achronim at least raise the question, those are the only examples, the best examples to bring, that first Mishnah is like a little microcosm of the interrelatedness. So when the Navi tells us, or the various Nevi'im tell us, Lama Lirozu Chechem, and its parallels, Tzedek and Mishpat are much more important, are much more fundamental, what it could have said, but what does one thing have to do with the other at all? You know, it's... essentially, apples and oranges, maybe even more disparate than apples and oranges. But again, the point of the interrelatedness of Jewish life and the fact that the zvachim play a certain role, they represent a certain level of avodas Hashem, once these foundational things are taken care of, but certainly not at the expense of them, because even internally they're built on them. There's a relationship between them. And certainly, if we understand well the world of karbanos, we know that the role of gezel and karbanos is a special halacha called the ne'ilah, right, which has aspects of both of kachim and of gezela. And there are certain karbanos that are brought for, especially for violations of kosher mishpat, etc. So it's not really surprising upon further analysis, both because of the general interrelatedness of halacha, and specifically, this is a theme in karbanos. Again, the hafrasha of karbanos itself is a matter of dini mamonis, bedek habayis, and kadshei mizbeach, mamon kadshim bekinyonam, as opposed to the kadshei mizbeach idea. But the overlap between them and the dinim of hafrasha and mamonis and the shibudim that are involved, all of this again bespeaks of this interrelatedness. So the world of karbanos is a fascinating world. It represents a certain ideal, clearly plays a very central role, and yet, with all that I've just said about it, it remains very mystifying and confusing and puzzling as well. The Rabbi Yehuda Levi and the Kuzari basically makes a suggestion about the nature of karbanos. And then he goes on to say about the relationship between Olam Shamal and Olam Shamata, and then this is a Mamar Beis, a Perek Chavav, and then he goes on to say, and then he goes there Chalila Sha Kavana Ba'avod Azos Hi HaSeder Shani Zacharti. Whatever it is that he proposes, he says, I'm not suggesting that that's really what it's all about. Aval Nashu Yoser Nifla V'Ne'ala Shehu Shehi Torah Me'es Elokim Yisbarach the Kibbut Shem Mikol Mibli She Yischakem Ba B'Sichlo Hu HaMe'ud Mimi She Yischakem Ba V'Yachkar Aval sorry, I was trying to read my handwriting Misha Nata Me'ad Madrega Halyona Hahi El ha-mechkar, tov shiyotzi mehem motzei chachma mishiyazvena lisvaros ulisfekos habavim el ha-ibado. Okay. So basically what the Kuzari says was, first he makes a suggestion, and then he says, I'm not really telling you that my speculation covers karbanos. At best, it may cover a component or a dimension. The best way to relate to the world of karbanos is to accept it as a chok and as an act of avodas Hashem, even without understanding the details or understanding the purpose fully. However, if one is going to speculate, he says, be very, very careful that your speculation is constructive and that it adds to the luster and the honor of the world of karbanos, and it doesn't lead to some sort of destruction. Okay. Of course, in general, this is consistent with the Rabbi Yehuda Levi's view. Unlike some of the Rishonim, like the Rambam, and even the Ramban, and so on, who were enamored with the Tamei Mitzvos, even when it comes to Chukim, again, not only the Rambam, but the Ramban as well. Rabbi Yehuda Levi, in general, had a much more ambivalent view on the matter of Tamei Mitzvos. He felt that, you know, being Makabel, without understanding fully, especially in the area of Chukim, represents a higher madrega. Although, again, he clearly did not desist from speculation, nor did he really discourage, just indicated that acceptance is a higher level. So in that sense, what Rabbi Yehuda Levi says about karbanos, it's not only about karbanos, it's about Chukim generally, but the second comment that he makes about karbanos, which is, if you're already going to speculate, which is permissible, albeit not the highest level, you make sure that it be something that enhances and elevates our appreciation and understanding, not one that detracts from it, that becomes a very, very important piece of, of course, important suggestion, generally and in particular for Karbanos. And that, of course, brings us to the controversial position of the Rambam, who many Rishonim accused of doing exactly the opposite of what Rabbi Yehuda Levi had suggested. And Rambam proposes a very controversial suggestion, very controversial explanation for karbanos. I would say it's one of the most controversial formulations in Mor Nebuchadnezzar, and typical of, but extreme typical of his historicist approach to Tamei Mitzvos in Mor Nebuchadnezzar. The Rambam emphasizes the role of karbanos as a didactic tool to negate avodah zarah. He argues that many of the animals that we use for karbanos were the deities of the non-Jews. And he goes on to explain which ones by the Indians, and which ones by the Kazdim, and which ones by the... and so on and so forth. And he says by sacrificing them and, you know, bringing them to the Mizbeach and turning it into an act of Avodas Hashem, so we emphatically reject those Avodas Zaras. Rambam also explains that essentially... the use of karbanos is a concession to man's idolatrous nature. That it sounds like the Rambam saying that ideally karbanos wouldn't have been necessary, that the Avodas Hashem would have taken a more spiritual vehicle, route. Because man cannot extricate himself from his idolatrous nature, just couldn't do it, at least that point in history he couldn't do it. You know, being so immersed in the cultures in which he lived, so it was necessary to channel that you know, that perspective into something that was going to be positive and spiritual and Jewish, but basically didn't have to be that way. That's what the Rambam basically says. So he leaves us with a kind of a historicist perspective. Very much karbanos being a function of where Klal Yisrael were at a particular point in time and the inability to ignore that framework. And to say very much on the negative rather than the positive side. It's a negation of Avodah Zarah, and specific Avodah Zarahs in particular, etc. The Ramban reacts almost violently to this, understandably, in his Perush on the Torah by Yikra. According to many, many writers, that the Rambam is absolutely wrong. Isha rech lichalach Hashem, and other such expressions indicate that this is an idealistic and positive experience, not simply the rejection of, not simply sur meirah, but it's asei tov, it's not the rejection of the negative, but it's really a path to avodas Hashem. And the fact that historically even, you know, figures like Noach and the Avos and others were engaged in karbanos, all that proves that it wasn't the influence and a response to non-Jewish deities, but that there's something positive in its own right, karbanos, and he quotes so many chazals as well. Rabban himself, of course, proposes a very lofty idea of karbanos, the idea of karbanos as ultimate sacrifice, and the willingness of man to sacrifice himself, more to the point, man should view the process of Hakrovas Karbanos as one which he really should be undergoing, and that's Musar Haskel for him, the role of Chet, the need for Tshuva and Kapara, and so on. And these, Ramban begins the process, others pick up on it, Rebbe Bechai in particular, Adam Ki Yakriv Mikem Karban, again it's his own Hiskarbus, he should have been a Karban, others link it with the, you know, with the act of Akedas Yitzchak, which establishes the you know, the Makom HaMizbeach, right? Man was willing to sacrifice himself. That willingness, along with Rabban Shalom's refusal, that is doubly significant. Yeah, the best of all worlds. Right? It tells you much about man and his capacity for Avodas Hashem. The ultimate sacrifice is something that he was willing and eager to make. Kafseni Yafeh, Kafseni Yafeh, Yitzchak. And the disappointment that registers when Avraham Avinu was told to stop, right? He has to be told to stop firmly because he's you know, willing, ready, able, interested to do Dvar Hashem. But at the same time, the fact that Rabbanu Shalom says absolutely not, there is no human sacrifice. The willingness is sufficient, but we don't want human sacrifice. That combination is a very powerful one, and that is the yesod for Ramban, for understanding of Ramban's derech, at least, for understanding the world of karbanos. The question arises, what about the Ramban? So is it acceptable to read the Rambam at face value that karbanos is A, a concession to man's idolatrous nature, B, that it's mostly a rejection, a negation, rather than a positive experience? The truth is, if we look at other places in the Rambam, this is not borne out at all. In Uchos Malachim, Perikid Aleph, Alach Aleph, of course, the Rambam discusses Yemos HaMashiach, Melech HaMashiach, so he makes it perfectly clear that that's going to be an ideal setting, a time of almost like, you know, a utopia on earth, because which is the Rambam's psak, like Shmuel. But as the Rambam explains in his tshuva, then in Hilchos Malachim, it's going to be a time of great, it's going to be utopia in the sense that people will be focused on spiritual pursuits. There will be other distractions. Human nature will come to the fore. The potential in human nature will be realized fully in this period. So one would expect that if there is something negative in Avodas Hashem, it would be shed dafka in this period, notwithstanding Shmuel. But the Rambam says clearly, Hamelech HaMashiach Hasid La'amod V'lahachzir Malchus Beis David L'yoshna. So, together with Osin Shmita Yovlos, which is certainly very lofty, the Rambam says the first actual mitzvos or mishpatim that the Rambam mentions are makriven karbanos. Moreover, the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, explains that the whole purpose of the Beis HaBechira actually was, or one of the main purposes of the Beis HaBechira, where the purpose of that was to be makriv karbanos. Mitzvah say lasos bayis lashem, muchan lios makrivibo karbanos, v'chogin elav gimel pa'amin bashana, shenemar v'asa li'viktash. So again, unlike the Ramban and some of the other Mefarshim, the Rav used to speak about this a lot, who emphasized that the purpose of building the bayis was to have a makom l'shchina. Maybe, in that context, that's also the proper place for kibesi beis tefila yikarei l'chal ha'avim, and for the bring of karbanos, and for the regalim. But the Rambam's emphasis is different. The Rambam emphasizes the bayis is a vehicle for the karbanos, to begin with. Not just a function of that, but it sounds like that's the purpose that it plays. Ironic that the Ramban, who formulates the karbanos in such lofty spiritual terms and who criticizes the Rambam for downplaying it, is dafka one who downplays the role of karbanos in mitzvah's Beis HaBechira. It's not a problem, it's just an irony. And the Rambam, notwithstanding the accusation, is the one who puts it front and center. More than that, the Rambam in several places echoes the words of Chazal that Torah HaKarbanos are critical for our spirituality, and literally that our Olam Omeid al HaKarbanos. The famous passage in the end of Sefer Avoda, Perek Chazal HaKes, where the Rambam has this famous discussion about Chukim. Rambam makes it perfectly clear that l'chatchila one should exercise his rationalism and try to understand even chukim. However, if that's impossible, he shouldn't in any way minimize the importance of chukim, shouldn't relate with less respect as a consequence. On the contrary, that would be a kind of me'ila in its own right, and he elaborates and so on. Towards the end, he explains the chola karbanos kulan bechlala chukim heim, even though he's given this reason in Marduchim, but karbanos achukim. Yefika chamer chachamim sh'af alavodos karbanos ha'olam omed. Shevasiyas achukim v'hamishpatim zochin hayisharim l'chay olam ama v'gdima torah tzivui alachukim sh'nemar u'shmartim eschukosais v'shpatai asher yasa osam ha'adam. So the Ram says Karbanos Achukim, interesting, and then he says that's the reason why Chazal say that Ha'olam is Omed ala Karbanos. The truth is that this idea that Olam is Omed ala Karbanos, the frame of Rambam, they give you some of the Maror HaKamos. There's all sorts of speculation where the Rambam got this from. That's how the Rambam interprets the Mishnah in Avos. Al Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Omed Al Torah Al Avoda Yalgvilus Chasadim. So according to the Rambam, like Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah, but not like some of the other Mepharshim, Avoda, in this context, Shimon HaTzadik HaYim B'Shor HaYim HaSagnola, Yom HaGimel Dvarim HaOlam Omeid, Ala Torah, Ala Avoda, Al Gmilas Kasadim. What is Avoda? So the Rambam says, Yom HaShem B'Chachma V'Yah Torah, U'B'Malas HaMidos, V'Him Gmilas Kasadim, U'B'Shmiras Mitzvah HaTorah, Heima Karbanos, Tia Hasmadas, Tikun Ha'olam, the Sidur Mitziyaso, Alazerach HaShalem. So again, especially if you interpret like some Farshim, that Olam Omeid means the purpose of the world, and not just Olam Kayam, what makes the world an efficient vehicle for spiritual self-development. So the Rambam is saying that one of the three of the triad is mitzvah satorah, shmiras mitzvah satorah, i.e. shmiras mitzvah satorah for the Rambam means karbanos. Again, Rashi likewise, Rashi doesn't say that it's shmiras mitzvos, he just goes directly to the issue. Alavoda shal beis hamikdash. Kamo shavatsinu betaynis, yomolim amados, lo niskaimu shamayim va'aretz. And Rabbeinu Yonah as well. Kiyakosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hu, Yisrael, Mikol Umos, Eretz Yisrael, Mikol Matzos, Yerushalayim, Mikol Eretz Yisrael, Miyush Bachar, Yerushalayim, Tzion, Kamo Shenemar, Iva Lamoshav Lo, Bachar, Mikol, Bebeis Abachira, Bishvil Ho Avoda, Shekhsiv Ba Ratzo, Lirtzono Lepnei Hashem, Hinei Lecha, Ki Bepnei Ho Avoda, Nivra Kol Olam Kula, Oz Bechatainu Charev, Mikdash, Ubtela Ha Avoda, Batzvila Leinu Achshav, Vimekoma, Moshe Mechazal, Abdul Chalavabchem, Ezeh, Vodesh Abalev, Havers of Tefillah. This is Rabbeinu Yonah. But the Rambam has an interesting twist. According to the Rambam, Avoda means Shmiras HaMitzvos, but Shmiras HaMitzvos, i.e., means Karbanos. And Rashi already alludes to the Mishnah in and the Sugya in Tainis. And if you look at the Rambam in Perush Mishnayis in Tainis, we find that the Rambam also was impressed with that makar. Perek Dalid Mishnah Beis talks about the mamados and the klal yisrael to be present during the akrovas hakabanos shel tzibur. Kar nizgar mizbar lecha mizel lashon ki milas mam etchalanos mizkaros kuno leviyah v'anshe osamayim v'anshe mam and heim shluche yisrael v'hedaitam v'kabanosam kulam le'isasek ba'avoda u'betfila. Again, they didn't do anything. Right. They stood there, and their das, their kavana, was l'shem avoda l'tfila. V'loyim is askim v'iskehem. They couldn't do their regular work. V'her libam u'machshavtam b'kavanas. Because shayem magiyas man hamamad kol nishahaya v'hem anshe osam mamad kar v'shalayim v'her limtza b'mikdash v'shasak harvus karban ima kvanim alavim shemosam v'shpar and so on. V'loyim is askim v'avodas Hashem Kalos Shvua, Ubikriyas Apinis, Ubitvila, Vaikor Maisa Bracious, Lepisha Shlemos Hamitsius, Ba'avoda. The Enet Slenu Avoda, Ella Ima Karbanos. The Chain Omru, Ilmale Mamados, Lonis Kaimu Shamayim Ba'aretz, which is exactly what Rashi quoted in Avos. We put together Pirsha Mishnayas in Avos, Pirsha Mishnayas in Tainis, and then of course you have the Rambam's lament in the beginning of Pirush Mishnayos to Sefer Kachin, where he explains why it is that he's elaborating so much on these matters. Rambam begins, Ra'isi ledaber davar b'chalki ha-karbanos ve'achlo mineim kodem sh'atchil l'farish ha-seder hazeh asher hebiyani l'kach im ayos chalukeim davar mevuar ve'kulam ipsuke ha-tora v'yashe l'chadish b'hem v'lo l'dakte k'ayos ha-inyan hazeh v'otsolem ha-inyan ha-karbanos kvar avad davar l'seder ha-radim ve'ein mashgichim bo el ma'at b'vnei adam ve'ein zichro murgal etzal shum adam. I feel not some of them, if you ain't some mice the kind of hell go. Vein Shoel, Vein Dorish, Vein Mevakesh, Al Shum Dabar Meher Kalikar. At Shin Ishtam Bo HaKocham HaGadol, Im HaSocham Na HaMom. Rova Talmidim Inim Yodim Na Karbonos, I feel Mashin Erba Em Tzukim Rabbit. So the Rambam laments about the state of ignorance, and that's why it's necessary for him to elaborate more fully on the matters of Karbonos. But what's of course particularly interesting, what really comes across is a passion. Meaning how much it bothers the Rambam that people are ignorant, and that they're ignorant because it's not Levaisa. Clearly what emerges from the Rambam is a certain passion for Kabanos. And that, of course, was the sine qua non for Seder Ha'avot, Sefer Ha'avot of the Kabanos. I mean, the Rambam really dedicated two Svarim in his Yad HaChazaka to one theme, which is itself interesting. Why he did that is itself a question. But he didn't do that in any other area of halacha. Right? Really, two of the yad are dedicated to the world of karbanos. And I would just add, and I think that this is an objective statement, I've said it before, the Rambam's power and his role as a mefarish is actually displayed in the areas of Zrayim and Kachim and Taharos, even more than in the areas of Moed and Noshim and the Zikin. Because what the Rambam had to do, you know, in those more neglected areas and less halacha l'maaseh areas, or not halacha l'maaseh areas, actually, in some cases, was just all the more impressive. And he had to put things together. It was much less of a background to operate with. The organization itself required a certain intellectual and spiritual energy, which is, you know, almost unthinkable. And the Rambam clearly didn't take the easy way out in these areas, even more so than in the others. He didn't just codify, you know, the simple statements of the Gemara, right? There wouldn't be so many problems in the Rambam in these areas of halacha if he did. The fact they didn't take the easy way out, you know, creates more headaches and more of a challenge for us as people who study his work. But what reflects is something incredibly inspirational. It means that the Rambam struggled, you know, with each and every halacha, with each and every gemara in Kachim and Taharos and Zohar, as he did in Kol HaTorah Kula. But as I say, it's even more obvious in these areas. And he did that because of his, you know, the tenacity reflects the passion and the centrality that he felt about Kachin, the same centrality that is reflected in his comments in Pirush Mishnayos and Avos and Tainis and Zvachim, in having made it centerpiece of Hilchos Beis Avichira. And again, the first thing that returns in Yemos HaMashiach and in his comments in the end of Me'ilah. For the Rambam, even Tefillah, again, the Rambam has Avos, says Tefillos Keneged Avos Tiknu, but he also has Tefillos Keneged Karbanos Tiknu. The Rambam has an integration of both. Clearly, notwithstanding his comments in Mor Nebuchim, the Rambam, more maybe than any other Rishon, had a certain central view of what the Karbanos were all about. So how does that fit into what he wrote in Mor Nebuchim? So of course there are those who will tell you that Mor Nebuchim is, you know, Moreh LeNebuchim, and that he wrote it for a certain audience, you know, and it had a much more rational and historicist orientation because he was speaking to that particular audience. Undoubtedly, there is much truth in that. It's hard to believe that the Rambam said things that he didn't believe to that audience. That far I wouldn't go. But that he emphasized certain things differently in Mardabuchim and in Yom HaChazaka, example is clear. Again, I've mentioned this in the past. The Rav has some very interesting comments about Rambam's Tanya Mitzvos and the end of the halachic line. And of course, he points out, and Professor Tversky, Zichrono Livracha, wrote a lot about this in his introduction to Mishnah Torah and in other articles. You know, the Rambam deals with Tanya Mitzvos not only in Mardabuchim, but here and there, interspersed throughout Yad Chazaka as well. So, in Adona, the treatment, in one case, Mardabuchim, again, much more historical and negative, much more direct, but purely rational, you know, to a certain kind of an audience. And in Yad Chazaka, much more inspirational. Rav quotes the Remez of Tkiyas Shofar, or Yishen and Mishinaskim as an example. There are many other examples as well. And I said Professor Tversky teased out a lot of these from just not even formulations of the Rambam, but you know, psukim that the Rambam quotes, or juxtapositions of the Rambam, you know, that highlight certain themes of different mitzvahs. The whole orientation in Yad HaChazaka and Amar Nebuchim are very, very, very different. Unquestionably, that's one aspect of it. The Ritva, Sefer Zikaron, is a little safer that the Ritva wrote to defend the Rambam from the attacks of the Ramban al Torah. So he makes this suggestion a little bit as well. Right, number one, he says, the Ramban attacked the Ramban. He says, and I happen to agree with the Ramban. Referring to the Ramban, binyanei hakorban amitis. V'chitamo shel harav b'mora nirach kalush meod. Garon Rabbeinu lekanter kol ma shekinter lekadosh haTorah uKadosh Hashem yizbarach b'karbanos. Says the Ramban was angry and upset about the Rambam's formulation because it is very weak and very unenticing, unappetizing. He says, and that's what caused him, lekadosh haTorah uKadosh Hashem, to react the way that he did. However, he says, we shouldn't be blind to the fact that this cannot be the Rambam's full formulation, and we have to look at the Rambam from a different point of view. Moreover, he says, the Rambam's upset, feeling that Karbanos had been undermined by the Rambam, blinded him a little bit to what the Rambam really meant. He just couldn't see straight what the Rambam was focusing on, and for that reason, he only zeroed in on one passage in Mardabuchim. He should have realized that there were two different passages and that the other passage has a different emphasis. Vamnam kitam akorban amok amok niyam tzenu. Ritva says, even though tamia karbanos are very profound, the afrabenu kabalaso niskashabo, the enu mekalum lemekubalimbo, even the Ramban and even Aldera Chasod is only, kim tipa minayam. We don't have the sefer. Apparently, the Ritva was of the opinion that karbanos are not chukim. The Rambam says in the end of the Ila that they are. But he says, I explained there why they're not even chukim. Even though the Ramban, what he says is divra lekim chayim, Masha Kosov Larav Hamore lo ien bo yafe. He kinas libo lashem yizvarach, hiv haloso milaayin vilashon rabenu bamore. Okay. Then he says, Lepi daiti ain sapek, sheim tsum vidivri hamore dvarim sheinum lepi chach meo emes. He says, unquestionably, the Rambam in Mardabuchim is going off on his own. And he's not quoting, and this doesn't come from Chazal. O chachamim acherim. Achafia derech shedorech barabenu hamora lo yimotze batoz velo derech stira vehefech ki betachas hashmira v'chachmas ahigayon v'shomar as atzmo v'devara. He says, just because this isn't a Chazal-rooted explanation doesn't mean it's anti Chazal. This is very fascinating. In addition to every the Rambam and the Ramban being fascinating, this Ritva walking this fine line is fascinating. So basically, I agree with Ramban. I think the Rambam's reasoning is very weak. I also think that the Ramban was misled by his passion for defending Karbanos here, and didn't give the Rambam a full hearing. Moreover, even though the Rambam's view is not a Chazal view, it's not a stira with Chazal as well. Okay, then he goes on to explain. I'll explain in just a minute. Among other things, let's say some of the other Mepharshim, like the Abarbanel, and others say, oh, the Rambam was speaking to a different audience, he didn't mean it, but clearly the Ritva felt that what the Rambam said could work in with Chazal's view, even though that point of emphasis is not Chazal's view. There's a famous suggestion of the Meshech Chachma, which also I think is very difficult, but it's interesting just for the phenomenon in its own right. Meshech Chachma says the Rambam was talking about Karbanos Bebamos, and the Isha Reach Nichoach LaShem, that all the positive, you know, things that are said in Chazal and in the Psukim about Karbanos, that's Karbanos B'Mikdash. It's hard to believe that that's what the Rambam really had in mind, but it's interesting, as again, the phenomenon in its own right, and to defend the Rambam, and of course this idea of the distinction between Karbanos, B'Bamos, even when they're Mutaros, I'm not talking about B'Bamos when it's Asur. That in itself is interesting. B'Mokom Asher Yivchar, B'Mokom Asher Yivchar L'Shakeish Shubi Sham, all of that, according to the Meshech Chachma, puts Karbanos in a very different light. But I think what the Ritva is trying to suggest for the Rambam is something slightly different. What he notes is that the Ramban really only quotes, or mostly quotes, the passage in Mor Nebuchim of Memvav. And he doesn't sufficiently quote Gimel Chavav. The Rambam says two different things. In Gimel Memvav, the Rambam zeroes in on some of the details of the Karbanos. There he's trying to explain why Bakar and Son and so on. And there the Rambam says that, you know, this was a rejection, a negation of the deities of the Indians and the Egyptians and the Chaldeans and all sorts of other clear historical references. The Ritva says, the Rambam says all of that, but that's what he's dealing with, the Pratim of the Karbanos. What we really need to zero in on is what he says, not about the Pratim, but about the general concept of Karbanos. And there, the Rambam doesn't say that our intention was to reject non-Jewish deities. The Rambam is just trying to explain, I think what the Ritva means, is why the form of Karbanos was used in order to project Dvarim Niskavim, you know, matters of great idealism, lofty spiritual matters. Why this method? After all, wouldn't it have been more appropriate to take some more spiritual? And he quotes what the Rambam says is, and this of course is what I referred to before, that the Klal Yisrael had a certain history. It was not conceivable, you know, to remake them, refashion them, you know, in a way which, you know, just was, would have been historically impossible. There was supposed to be a natural, I guess, development into the becoming a Mamlechas Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh. And therefore you have to work with, you know, within the limits of what you had. They couldn't extricate themselves from physical avoda, and avodas hakarbanos in particular, because that was something that they were connected to. And as such, the vehicle for spiritual expression that was chosen was that of karbanos. And this is what he quotes. This is the earlier passage. Avoda kolelos asher gadlo aleha lahakriv minei balechayim veichalos ahem asher hu midim b'hem atzlamim lekatel ufneim lo gozer chachmasa v'tachpelaso המבוארת בכל בריא יוסף שיצוונו להניח מינו עבודוס כולו ולמחלם, כי אוי סוי סלה שלו יאללה בלב לקבל לפי קו האדם, שהוא נוטה תמיד למורגל by a domet, as ki'ilu, this is very important comparison, it would be comparable, ki'ilu yavo navi bizmanenu zeh, she'ikare la'avodas hakel, v'yomer Hashem tziva eschem shelo tispalu, v'lo tatsumu, v'lo tibakesh tshuaso ve'es tzara, v'tia avodaschem machshava mibli maisa. Ad kam. So basically, what he's trying to emphasize is that the Rambam wasn't saying that, you know, karbonos are inherently idolatrous, but it's a concession to man's idolatrous nature, and the purpose of it is also to use that idolatrous nature to reject idolatry. Okay, ironic. That's not what the Rambam was saying at all. What the Rambam was really saying was that you have to work with human beings for what they are, and with Klal Yisrael, historical Klal Yisrael, according to what it was. And there are certain modes of thinking and modes of worship that are, you know, very much ingrained within man. And for that reason, Torah HaKorbanos was chosen as the mechanism of Avodas Hashem. In other words, what the Rambam is saying, and what the Ritva is emphasizing more than the Membav of the Chavav, is that there's a difference between the Tzura and the Token. The form of the vehicle that you use and the message itself. So to answer the Ramban's question, as the Ritva points out, Hevel and Noach and the Avos and Reach Nichoach LaHashem, right, and all of these things are no problem at all. Because the content of the karbanos, what's supposed to be accomplished through avodas hakarbanos, is not only a rejection of other deities. Maybe that's the reason why Itzon and Bakar and so on were picked. Moreover, it's not that these karbanos are b'di'eved because man couldn't extricate himself from this, you know, pattern of idolatrous. So better to channel the idolatry into an anti-idolatry than to, you know, than to forsake it all altogether. That's not what the Rambam meant at all. The Rambam meant, in theory, in order to project the themes that karbanos really project, namely those lofty spiritual themes of different motifs of avodas Hashem, it could have been done through tefillah alone, or through cognitive meditation, right? In theory, there are ways to cast the same motifs in a different vehicle. But that wasn't done. And the reason it wasn't done is because historical Klal Yisrael at that point, would have had to be transformed. And Rabbeinu Shalom wanted, this is the unspoken part, he wanted Klal Yisrael as Klal Yisrael, according to what they were at that point in time. He wanted them to become the Mamlechas Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh. And therefore, it's not so much a concession when you look at it, you know, because of the bigger picture, it ends up being an ideal. Yeah.
It's all saying that they shattered the Pesach, that was
right.
Described. In that respect, it really is part of the Pesach. You take the Pesach from above,
right.
It's also has basis in the Pesach.
Right, the Korban Pesach specifically. At Sheishkotu Elohei Amayneim, that's meant as a, but that you could say, is, you could argue that was a, that was meant as a one-time commitment to their, and because Elohei Nehem, right. In other words, that was the test. That was the crucible of leaving Mitzrayim to see whether they were worthy. To say that avodas hakarbanos in general is this negation, I guess that's a not only an expansion, but not only a quantitative expansion because it's constant and it's in all karbanos, but it's qualitatively different too because it's not li'enehem. It's not a test of faith. It's just it's a didactic thing. The what Chazal said about Korban Pesach isn't didactic, it's commitment. So I think there is a difference, but I think undoubtedly those are the roots of the Rambam. I think you're absolutely right. But either way, what the Ritva is saying is that we shouldn't judge the Rambam too harshly. What he's really saying, again, he doesn't say everything that I just added. He just points out that the Rambam makes two different statements. One is the historical framework, and the other one is the the negation of formulation. But I think in light of what he's saying, we take it one step further, and this is a very important idea for the Rambam and for others as well. I mean, there really are two questions. One is the tzura, the vehicle, and the other one is the token. When the Rambam speaks so eloquently and passionately in Pirush Mishnayos and Avos and Tainis and Kachim about the central role of Karbanos, we're already past the point that it takes this particular form. What we're really interested in is the content that the form projects. That content is something about which we could say Kol HaOlam Omed. When the Rambam speaks about the creation of the Beis HaBechira for the purpose of Karbanos, when he speaks about the return of mitzvos, the ideal, the full complement of mitzvos in Yimos HaMashiach, so of course he speaks about Karbanos, because notwithstanding how the form came about, even if you accept the Mardavuchim, it doesn't diminish one iota the value of the method, of the message, of the content, of the avoda itself, and that can be integrated very nicely with the avoda shebelev zui tefila, which is keneged avos and keneged atminim, because we're talking about two radically and completely different concepts. In that sense, the Rambam, notwithstanding his comments in Mardavuchim, really ends up being the greatest, most passionate advocate, in theory and in practice, because of what he did, both in Sefer Avoda and Sefer Karbanos, of the world of Karbanos. The truth is, yeah.
So is there any significance to Rambam's comments that Karbanos are chok and the Ritva believing that they're not?
Well, I don't know what the Ritva means. The Ritva says that, as you know, in my other book, I wrote why Karbanos are not chukim. I'd love to see what he wrote. As the the editor here, this is a Mosader Cook publication. I don't know who it is. Who is it? Oh, Kalman Kahan, who put out many of these things. As he points out, we just don't have the work. We don't know what he's referring to. I'd love to see what he says. But as the Rambam himself says in Hukos Mi'ila, I can't comment on the Ritva part of it. I just think it's intriguing. But since I don't know what he says, I just don't know what to make of it. On the Rambam side of it, it's perfectly clear that the fact that it is Hukim doesn't make it less significant at all. And that's what he says in Hukos Mi'ila. On the contrary, there's priority of Hukim over Mishpatim, both in terms of commitment, which he makes perfectly clear, but although maybe impenetrable, unfathomable, despite our good efforts, and we should continue to engage in those efforts, it's also clear that the Rambam thinks that things that are chukim are not less important than motifs either.
I was just wondering, in terms of this, the distinction for the Rambam now between the tochen and the tzura.
Right.
So,
which one of these is the chukim?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I thought that it could go.
Could go either way. It could be that again, despite what he said to Marne Buchan to a certain audience, which I'm sure he again believed in, to the extent that's what he said. But is it possible that there are other, more profound reasons? Certainly so. As for historical precedent, the Rambam, when he overlaps in discussing mitzvahs in Mardavuchim and Yad HaZakar elsewhere, does sometimes, give us completely different perspectives. So is it possible that, that there's a perspective that, the Yad HaZakar type perspective that he has on the physical and animal, tzura, in addition to the token? It's very possible. Very possible. Okay. Given all of this, I think if we move back, what the Rambam says isn't really so radical either. Yeah.
No one's really in the habit of giving karbanos in that respect. So that sort of would be
You mean, is it replaceable?
Yeah.
No, it's perfectly clear that that's not so.
Right, so why should that be?
Just because something is a... Yonah asked me whether or not when the Rambam says that karbanos are chukim, does that refer to the tzura or the tzoka?
No,
I said, I don't know. But even if it does refer to the tzura, because something is a chok, doesn't mean that it's expandable.
No, but let's see, you don't say that it applies to the tzura. You say actually the chok aspect applies to the tzoka.
And I would say both. It definitely also...
You have to say that it applies to that.
Well, it's perfectly clear in the Rambam of Smalachim, which is what I began with, that the first thing that comes back in Yimos HaMashiach, where there hasn't been a Parvus Karbanos, I mean, none of us are involved in a Parvus Karbanos. But the Rambam says, you know, laments and bemoans l'davonenu in Pirshei Mishnayos in the beginning of Zvachim. Right? But the fact is, none of us have been doing this for a very long time. It's hard to say that our idolatrous nature needs the vehicle of the Karbanos at this point in time. And yet, the first thing that comes back in Yimos HaMashiach, that utopian era, right, in which, you know, man will be able to reach his greatest heights as a physical being, of course, and then Olam HaZeh Yimos HaMashiach. But the first thing that comes back is Karbanos, not just the themes of Karbanos, the Tochen, but the Tzura as well. That's perfectly clear.
So minimally, the Tochen has to also apply, at least apply the Tzura, any question you would only
right. I think whether or not you characterize the avodos as chukim or things that are much more obviously rational, you know, you might say, oh, the tzura is a chok, the tochen is purely rational. But even if both are a chok, there's no question of it being expendable, this tzura. That clearly is not the case. And here I just get back to another point. The fact that, you know, what the Rambam says, the Rambam never uses the expression that it's a b'dieved. The Rambam tries to explain... I'm going a little bit beyond what the Ritva said in my remarks here about the Tzura and Tochen, but I think it's just, he's just pointing out that the Ramban, you know, most people, you know, gain access to this particular Ramban. Not many people read Mor Nebuchim anymore. Maybe they should, but they don't. So a lot of people know the Rambam Shita about Karbanos through the Ramban. The Ritva is doing a tremendous service by pointing out that the Ramban is emphasizing only one part of Rambam's presentation. I'm just, you know, taking that a step further, and I think the Ritva would agree, and making this distinction between between Surah and Tochen, and raising the same, the historical issue is, you know, why this form at this time and not something else. But I'd just like to take one step further than that and say, it's generally understood that what the Rambam meant is that this is all b'dieved. And we've been better, you know, it's like the base instinct of man needed the expression of Karbanos. And sometimes people even lose, you know, sight of the fact that to express these lofty themes, but the expression of the lofty themes is certainly, you know, not a b'dieved. But what I would say is maybe the whole thing isn't b'dieved at all. It's an explanation, you know, why this form was chosen, but I don't even know if it has to be b'dieved. In other words, this was the method that the Ribbono Shel Olam chose for Klal Yisrael at that time to express this. And who says that you lose anything by doing that? On the contrary, maybe in a certain way, by taking man's baser instincts and channeling them, you know, in a way that elevates them. Maybe that's a lechatchila, not just a b'dieved. The explanation of how it came about doesn't have to leave us with the conclusion that it's a b'dieved. And we're stuck with it because the Torah doesn't change. And even Yimos HaMashiach, it doesn't change. Even though this tzura really is a concession of some sort. It may be a concession in as a historical explanation, but the fact that this instinct was able to be redeemed in the way that it was is not necessarily b'dieved. It may be neutral, or it may even be, for all I know, it may even be a lechatchila. So I think that's something to consider as well. As for, you know, what the Rambam says, yeah.
What exactly is the nature of the person that we're saying for this?
Oh, so I'll get to that in just a second. Suggestion, but then I'll stop because I'm already over time. But then just as a parallel, you know, it's interesting to note that you know, we find something like what the Rambam suggests in other places as well, right? So when we speak about, in some cases they are clearly b'dieveds, But the evidence that are turned into lechatchilas or turned into neutral, but certainly cases where we distinguish between the tzura and the tochen. For example, in Chazal, when they speak about the impact of the egel hazahav, or they speak about the impact of the chet on the raglin, and the fact that Klal Yisrael didn't immediately come into Eretz Yisrael. We talk about the dibros, the luchos, rishonos, the luchos, the shnios, and so on. Right? There are many, many formulations in Chazal, and even more in some of the later Mepharshim, about how transforming those events were and the impact that they had on the future of our vehicles, of our tzuros, of halacha. Right? The etzpa lokim, as opposed to the human, more human side of the luchos, shnios. In some cases, they clearly view this as a b'di'evet. In other cases, it isn't a question of chatchila b'di'evet, it's just a question of, given the historical reality of Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael lives on two planes, right? So the a priori and ideal, and the aspiration to achieve a certain stature, which is ahistorical, right? The Torah is created before the world, and Klal Yisrael's role is envisioned before the world, and so on. But at the same time, it's also supposed to be played out in real history. That's what the Torah tells us. That's why it's a this-worldly religion. And that makes it more powerful, not less powerful, in our understanding of things. So events that take place, the historical Klal Yisrael at very dramatic junctures that create a different route to Kabbalah's Pnei Ashchina, are not unheard of, whether it's the Egel HaZahav, let us say, or the Meraglim, or many other things, whether it's the Churban. Again, in some of the Mepharshim, this is like a leitmotif. In some eras, we emphasize this motif. The Tziv is very big on this, and the Meshach Chachma, the Talmud Torah era, the Avoda era. When you think about it, it's very fascinating. Theory can be very problematic. What do we mean by that? We say the Torah is Torah Hashem Tanima. So how can there be different emphasis in different eras? But the point is that in response to historical Klal Yisrael, Mamlechas Konim V'Goy Kadosh, and the keeping and fulfilling of the Torah is a process which includes Klal Yisrael as a partner, as a junior partner, but as a partner. So then their responses and their reactions and the readjustments that the Ribbono Shel Olam makes in terms of what to emphasize, not in the total destiny, but in how to do it and what to emphasize and at what point to bring in certain things and whether to emphasize the human part more or less. We spoke about the Shabbos and the Mishkan a couple of weeks ago, making reference to this idea. Right? What exactly is the relationship? Does it change after the Egel HaZahav? So the broader themes, the content, is still all there. But the vehicles and the tzuros, they really are subject to historical Klal Yisrael's evolution. So if we look at it in that way, I think it's possible to understand the Rambam better. And it's a little, still controversial what he says. And it's not my ideal. I like the Ritva. I go with the Rambam on this topic. I just don't think it's necessarily a stira between the Rambam and the Ramban. And as I say, I don't think that that's the primary story for the Rambam. I think what the Rambam is really saying is historical Klal Yisrael was at this point, and therefore it was totally understandable and legitimate for the themes of Avodas Hashem to be projected in this way. And that may be a b'di'evet if you look at it, against some more ideal, what might have been standard. Or maybe it really isn't even that. Maybe the ability to be Mekadesh, which had such a different direction, maybe that ends up being a greater Lechatchila as well. Now, what do I mean by the content? It's a very legitimate question. So here I think we get to the next point, which is the challenge that faces us in studying Sefer Vayikra. And this is something that, we spoke about earlier in the year, when we talked about one of the shiurim, we spoke about Ola and Asham and so on and Chatas. Namely, it seems clear that the world of Karbanos, like the world of the Moadim, and like the world of Makomos, represents a hierarchy or in some cases not a hierarchy, but it represents a variety of different approaches to Avodas Hashem with different emphases. And studying the details and getting beyond the, you know, the physical expression of it with dam and shkita and the animal and so on, but clearly in terms of the emphasis of how much lashem, how much lachem, okay, the case of karbanos reflected by, you know, by the process of the hakrava, by the question of achila, the role of the kohen. I think all of these represent, in a very parallel way, with important differences, what the Moadim represent. Different vehicles to express certain combinations of Avodas Hashem at different times and according to different needs and requirements. And it's important to understand that. But to understand it, you know, from the inside out, not from the outside imposed in. Meaning to understand it from the details of the halakha, first to get a sense of, you know, what a chatas is, what an asham is, what an ola is, what a shlamim is, what the differences are between kachi kalim and kachi kadashim, between kachi bedekabayis and kachi mizbeach. And it remains very mysterious, even after the fact. But if we can understand certain patterns by examining the halakhos and the lamdas from the inside, then we'll have a better connection to the world of karbanos. Again, one example I'll just give you that always struck me. Again, in the beginning of the parsha, so ola is assumed to be the default karban of the world of karbanos. It's not even pronounced or articulated explicitly in the Torah. And Elohim HaKarbanos, so the first one is Ola. It's like it's assumed. And historically that was the case as well. Ola is the historical Karban, and it's the first and an assumed Karban. It's the default Karban. And Ola, the Tmidim, are the bookends of Avodas HaKarbanos, so the day of the Beis HaMikdash, Aleh HaShleim. Right, the first Karban is the Tamid, and the last Karban is the Tamid. It's the right, it impacts upon the others. Of course, the Korban Ola is characterized by being Kalil the Mizbeach and being Kulo Lashem. In a way, the world of Korbanos, Kulo Lashem is the, you would say, is the norm, is the default. Whereas in the world of Zman, we also have a Kulo Lashem. And that, of course, is Yom Kippur. But, you know, it's Achas Bashana. And but why that should be so, I think there's certain obvious reasons, but I think it's fascinating, and it enhances our Avodas Hashem to realize that. That there are these connections, possibly, and that the different models are expressed in totally different ways in Zman, in Makom. In Makom also you have, you know, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you know, where only the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippurim can go under certain conditions. You know, and then you have the Heichal, and then you have the Azara. And as a Kedusha saying, you have a whole hierarchy of Kedushas, Kedushas HaMakom. So I think understanding the interconnections between where the parallels are and despite the parallels, what the differences are, can be a great a source of great inspiration and understanding about the different models of Avodas Hashem. Just reading through the Parshios, you know, you read Vayikra, you read Tzav. So there's a lot of overlap and repetition. Just like we discussed in the Mishkan, whatever you have overlap and repetition in different orders and different emphases, you know, something is up. We may not know what. That's what Chazal and the Mefarshim are about. And right, building on them, we have the right to add the Nofech Mishalanu in terms of our own Ha'aros. Sometimes you see something that no one else has seen before, as a question, as an anomaly, or as a solution. But if we look at Karbanos in this way, as models of Avodas Hashem, again, I said something similar about some of the Kalim in the structure of the Mikdash. I think it's true. So then both in the parallels and the contrasts can be very profound. In any case, that's what awaits us in the Sefer of Toras HaKarbanos, or Toras HaKohanim, and that indeed if we understand it well, if we understand these models well, and we integrate them with the rest of Torah, like that first Mishnah in Brachos does, then we can understand why Pa'olam really is homemade. Okay, again, I'm sorry for the...